Y'all don't need a facelift, okay? But do you want one? All right, let's stand.
Mine, smile is the prime. Don't take as much as smile
as
best
friend. Smile a while and give your face a lift. Lift your hands to the one who loves you best. Turn and shake your neighbor's hand and give the world a smile. Amen. Now you can say you got a facelifted church today. Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful? All right. I told Brother Bill a while ago, I don't know how long I'm going to preach, don't know for sure. I'm just leaving it up to the Lord, that's all I can tell you, because really, to be honest with you, I don't like people feeling bad for me, but I sure didn't much feel like coming this morning, but I sure wanted to, so God allowed me to do it. So let's look at, well, you don't have to. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture, and I can promise you one thing. I'm not reading it out of a Sears and Roebuck catalog. I'm not using any other book but God's Word, and that God's Word is King James Version, okay? All right, so I get that straight. Now, Isaiah chapter 19. Verse 1, and I ain't got it. There it is. Okay. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and should come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt should be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us today, Lord. And what you've done for us in the past, Lord, we thank you for everything that you allowed us to do. And Father, we thank you that you let me be able to be here today. Thank you, Lord, for touching my body that I could be here. And thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us, Lord. We thank you for these that have come today, Lord. We ask that you just bless each one of them in a special way. Lord, we need a touch from the Master to. And we ask, Lord, that you'll just give us that touch this morning. Thank you for everything you do now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, I want to share with you today a few thoughts about a storm, okay? Now, every one of us has storms now. We're in a storm, we're going out of a storm, or we're coming into a storm. Always a storm somewhere in our life. But as we take a look at the Lord and let him have his right of way in our life, the storms may come, the storms might go, but you know what? We have somebody that will help us through those storms. And I realize that more and more every day. I used to, a younger boy, I said younger because that's what I like to say, okay? And I was a younger boy. I was thankful that, you know, I didn't really look at storms like I do now. And I don't believe anybody looks at storms like they do now because all of us are getting a little bit older than we were, are we not? I don't say I'm getting older. I'm just getting closer home. And that's the way we ought to put it, because Jesus Christ is going to split the eastern skies one of these days. And I don't believe it's going to be very long. I believe that some of us may go before he comes to split the eastern skies. I don't know. That's up to him whether he calls us home or not. I tell you the truth. The Bible tells us that we need to be ready when he does call on us. That's what we need to be. And we need to today to look at a few things this morning. There's not a person whom I know on the face of this earth that does not have storms. Sometimes or another in their life. And more times than most, right? Sure to do. But there's about five things I want to share with you this morning. Okay, I'm going to try to take my time. I'm going to try to just look at these things and see what God has for us this morning. Okay, there are storms. If you look around you, every day they call for storms pretty much on the weather forecast. There's not. Sometimes they change them. They changed some of them last week. In fact, I thought we was going to have a storm today, but this morning or last night, they didn't say anything about it. I don't know. They changed their minds a whole lot of times, or they changed whatever they have to tell us what they think is going to happen. But you know, God's the one who looks after that. They don't have nothing to go by but what these men have made, and God allowed them to make it so that it could be like it is today. There is a purpose for that, and I know that. But first of all, that's what I want to share with you, a purpose. A purpose for our storms. Have you ever thought about what causes storms? Well, I'll tell you. Storms come in our life for several reasons. I believe that the first thing is that we don't mind God like we ought to. We don't live for the Lord like we ought to sometimes. And He has to put a storm in our life to show us He's still on the throne. He's our master. He's to lead us in the ways of righteousness for His name's sake. And so we're supposed to listen to Him and let Him guide us and direct us in this present time that we're living in. And maybe, just maybe, there would not be storms that come in our life like we have sometimes. I don't know. I'm just saying that it might not be. Because God has a purpose for everything that He allows to happen. He wants to spend some time with you. That's one of the things that He wants to do. He wants to spend some time with us. He's lonesome in a way. And I don't mean that by no disrespect whatsoever. But, you know, he desires to be with us. He desires to help us. He desires to fellowship with us. And we need the fellowship of the Lord. So He wants to spend some time with us. Now, it was a storm that Jesus came into to His disciples in the fourth watch in Mark chapter 6, verse 48. It was also in a storm that the angel of the Lord came to Paul and assured him of some things in Acts chapter 24. We find also there was a storm that the disciples cried out to Him saying, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" in Mark chapter 4, 38. And I realize I'm not giving you time to go scriptures, but for sake of time, let's just go on. And if you want to write them down, that's fine. Okay, you might want to write them down. And if you do, and you have something to write them down with and on, then go ahead and do so. Be all right with me. Here, another thing is that it was in a storm that the disciples cried out to Him, saying, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Have you ever asked the Lord that? "Lord, carest not that we perish?" Think about it. We may not have said any of those words, but sometimes we act like it, don't we? Things come in our life in a storm, and the disciples realize how helpless they really were without Him in Matthew 14:24. He wants to spend some time with us. He wants to spend some time with you. And He wants to spend some time with me. He wants to spend some time with all the Christian people. But somewhere or another, people that say they're Christians don't act like a Christian a lot of time, do they? They don't talk like a Christian a lot of time. And they don't live like a Christian a lot of time. But I'm going to tell you something. It's strict business if you're going to be a Christian. The Bible tells us we're to be Christ-like. And that's what the word Christian means, Christ-like. Can you imagine being Christ-like? Well, we ought to try our best to. I know we're not perfect, but you know, one of these days we're going to have a perfect body, like unto the Son of God. Amen? And so you see, we need to strive toward perfection instead of going backwards a whole lot of times. And I say we, I'm talking about myself too. When I point my finger at you, look what I'm got pointing back at me, three and a thumb. That's bad, ain't it? But it's the truth, is it not? So, you see, I've got more to answer for probably than you have. Because God called me to preach, and if I don't preach like I'm supposed to or He tells me to all the time, I'm going to tell you something. I've got something to answer for. I've got a whole lot of other things to answer for, I'm sure. But you know what? I realize that God's going to take care of all of it because I ask Him to. And the Bible tells us if we ask Him, He'll answer, hear and answer prayer, does He not? And I praise God today that we have a prayer answering God, one that helps us throughout our storms, throughout our life. He wants to help us in our storms. He wants to spend some time with us in our life. So remember that, number one. Number two, He wants to teach you that His grace is sufficient for all needs. You know how the Apostle Paul asked for him to take a thorn and flesh out, don't you? Take it away. He said, I will not do that, but I will tell you this. My grace is sufficient for all your needs. And that did Paul some good. It would do me some good too if he told me, and he has done it in the past time. My grace is sufficient for you. In all things. You see, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is merciful. God's grace is wonderful. God's grace is awesome. So remember that. You can rely on God's grace. You see, Hosea's wife was unfaithful, but her grace was sufficient. Or his grace was sufficient, excuse me. Ezekiel's wife died, but he kept preaching. Paul was given a thorn, but he pressed on. Jairus' daughter brought him to Jesus, and he came, and he cried, and he continued. So you see, then, he wants to teach us his grace is sufficient. Now, not only is that a purpose, but it is also a plan. The first thing I mean is purpose. Secondly, is plan. That's where his grace is sufficient. Now, Let's get prepared for it. The Bible says that He wants to show you that He's still on the throne. And He is. Isn't it wonderful that we're serving a God that's able to be here in our presence, to be on the throne at the same time? Well, I like the little girl says, she says, He's everywhere. And praise the Lord, He is everywhere. Amen. He lives within our heart and our soul in the form of the Holy Spirit. Isn't it wonderful? Amen. We ought to be just as happy as we can be, even though we're not all of our hearts. You see, He wants to show us that He's still on the throne. While John was in prison, what happened? Jesus sent word. In Luke chapter 7, verse 22, He said, Then Jesus answered and said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. Now how is all that happening? Because God is still on the throne, and He wants us to know that. Excuse me. God is still on the throne while Paul was in prison. He'll prepare us for eternity. If we will come to Him for our help, or His help, excuse me, His will for our help. And then number four is this, peace. God gives peace in a troubled time, doesn't He? Sure He does. He wants to show us there's peace in the midst of the fire. Why, the three Hebrew children were thrown into fire, fiery furnace. It was hotter and hotter. But what happened? I believe, and this is just my version of it, that they lay down and slept for the whole time. And that they went in. There was not an eyebrow that was, what do you call it, singed. There was not a hair on their head, if they had any. I don't know what did or not. But if it did, it wasn't a hair sin, sins or burnt whatsoever. And what happened? They come up victorious, didn't they? Well, what about the Hebrew children were thrown into the... That was the one that was thrown into the furnace. Okay. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where were they thrown? They were thrown into the den of lions, wasn't they? What happened to them? God showed them that there was peace in the midst of the lion's den, or the den of lions. Did he not? There was not a thing whatsoever that was hurt about that. You know, lions have a reputation that they will eat you up. But God locked their jaws so they couldn't even take a bite. We're serving an awesome God, aren't we? We're serving a powerful God. We're serving an omnipresent God. Amen? Sure we are. He wants to show us there's peace. Everywhere that we go, there can be peace. There's peace in the midst of the storm. Thank God the story didn't end there at the cross. The disciples went through the fire when the Lord was hanging on the cross. But there was peace in the midst of the storm, and thank God didn't end there at the cross. Well, there is a preacher's program on TV, and I'm just going to say this. Y'all probably know who it is. If you ever looked at them, they say that the cross was the most important. And I agree, the cross is important, very much important. Had he not died for our sins, where would we be? Sure. But what about his resurrection? It didn't stop at the cross, did it? Absolutely not. He was in an empty tomb. He's out of the empty tomb and a risen Savior today. He's alive, and he's alive forevermore. So you see, there's peace in the midst of the storm. Then, number five is this. And by the way, I know you know this, but I'm going to tell you again. The biblical number five is grace. Okay? That shows me that there's grace in the time of need and in the time of storm. He wants to show us provisions that he has. Lost person, he cares for us as a lost person. And then when we get saved, then he still cares for us. In fact, we are his children. We're a part of the family of God. Can you imagine being a part of the family of God? Well, you might as well imagine if you're saved, because you are. Amen. You see, he cared for King Agrippa. A storm raged in his soul. Then he said, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. That word almost persuaded bothers me. King Agrippa may have gotten saved after that, I don't know. But what the Bible says, he said, almost persuaded me to be a Christian. He also tells us that he cared for Felix and sent a storm raging in his soul. He looked more for that convenient season, didn't he? There's a whole lot of people today walking around out here. They're not saved because they're looking for a convenient season to get saved. What better convenient season is it than it is now? The Bible says the day is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. We shouldn't put it off until tomorrow, should we? And I'll tell you something else about along that line. We shouldn't put off witnessing to somebody if God allows us and he convicts us to go to witness to somebody. It may be too late if you keep putting it off, just like it is in salvation. Salvation is of the Lord, and also witnessing is of the Lord also. You see, he cared for Felix and sent a storm raging in his life. He looked for that more convenient season. But well as I can remember, now I may be wrong, but I don't remember the Bible saying anything about it being more convenient season for Felix. Has any of y'all heard it, read it? If it is, tell me. I don't mind. We just hear with the Lord. Was it, Bill? I ain't trying to put you on the spot. I don't know either. But I know that he said, more convenient season, I call upon the Lord. Did he not say that? So if he said that, something wrong somewhere. I hope that he found that more convenient season. I hope that God done something else to show him that he needed to be saved right then. Something else. He cared for the rich young ruler. But was the rich young ruler saved? I don't think he was, really. There's a whole lot of places in the Bible that leave it for a while and then maybe go back to it some other places. And it kind of makes you think about it sometimes, don't it? But you see, I want to say this. This is things to the plan and let's see, what was the others? I forgot already. Anyway, who cares for you? Ask you a question today. Who cares for you? You say, well, my wife or my husband cares for me. And that's true, probably. What about the Lord? He cares for us, don't he? Sure does. The Christian people care for us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit cares for us. He wants to help us in our Christian life. As the church or the born-again Christians, they care for us. We care for each other. We should anyway. I tell you, I care for you. That's one reason I come to help you out if I can. God told me to. And I'm going to try to do what God tells me to do. You see, the church are the born-again Christians. We, as a born-again preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, care for you. And I'll tell you to your eyeballs. I'd love for all of us to live like a Christian. But here's something else, and I'm going to close with this. I told Brother Bill a while ago, I didn't know how long I was going to preach, and I still don't. I might take off again, I don't know. The storms of life are going to be over one of these days. I don't believe it's going to be very long. You look around the storms that are happening now, and the world situation. How can it happen? How can it be very much longer? You see, the Bible tells us no man knows the day nor the hour, and he doesn't. It said not even the angels in heaven know when he's going to call us home or come get us. But I'm glad one thing. He's not going to send anybody to get us. He's coming himself. He's coming himself. Now, I realize the first time that he calls us home, he's going to come out and step out on the eastern cloud. And he said, come up hither, all the saved. And you'll need these hearing aids, Sister Donna. We ain't gonna need them. And there's other things. We're gonna be able to hear that voice. And we're gonna know who it is. There's no gonna be no question whatsoever. In fact, I think that it ain't gonna be long enough, time enough for us to think, period. Just when he calls us home, we're gonna take off, lose gravitation, and be gone. I believe that's the way it's gonna happen. Just because I believe it may not be right, but I think I'm right on that. We're going to have the biggest and the best homecoming we've ever had. How you like having homecoming here? You loved it, didn't you? Well, how many years has it been since you had one? Several, maybe? I don't know. I'm just guessing. Anyway, that doesn't matter. Homecoming is good, but that homecoming in the sky is going to be the best. Amen? And we don't have to have a homecoming. Riverview had homecoming today, but they not eating afterwards. I guess it's because of the COVID. What do you call it? Pandemic something? I can't even say it. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe that's the reason they're not. I told my wife, I said, what's this having homecoming if you ain't going to eat? You know. We're going to have homecoming, but we're going to sit down at God's table one day. And can you imagine just miles and miles of food? If you've ever been on a boat or ship and took a vacation, they have a table as far as the ship will go, as big as it is. And anything you want on that ship, you can go get it anytime you want to. You can get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and that thing's waiting for you. That's wonderful. You pay for it, but it's wonderful. We have to pay for this too. If we do what God tells us to do, it's not easy, but thank God He helps us. He goes with us every step of the way, so why worry? Don't worry about how much money you get. It's going to be taken care of. It ain't going to cost you nothing else. Just time to get it. And you're going to have plenty of time then. That's eternity. The best homecoming has ever been. No more heartaches, no more troubles, no more pains, no any kind of bad things whatsoever. Everything's going to be wonderful. Can you imagine living in a place that everything is wonderful? You say, I don't know what I can take it or not. Yes, you can too, because you're not going to be living in this old body you're living in now. You have a glorified body. And you know what? We're not going to worry about what's coming up in a few minutes. No. We're not going to wonder what's going to happen in just a little while. I'm looking forward to going home and eat in just a little while. But I'm looking more forward to going home and eat with my Savior at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. All right. Now, what God has prepared for His children, the table is going to be spread. And it's beyond imagination what God has for us that are His children. You can imagine if you want to, but I don't think you can imagine. It's too much for our mind that we have now. But everything will be glorified about us then. Everything will be wonderful. So the only thing I can say in closing is, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm born again by God's marvelous grace. I know beyond a shadow of doubt that I'm saved. And I hope, I don't know about you, but I think you are. Your testimony shows me that you are, but I really don't know deep down in my heart. The only one we know about is ourselves. And if we don't know about ourselves, then we better be knowing about ourselves. And that's all I want to say today. Okay. All right, Brother Bill, you got a song? You want to sing? Now, you understand what I'm saying? That you're going to sing? Let's just sing Amazing Grace. How about that? Okay. If you don't mind standing, if you feel like it, if you don't feel like it, that's okay. But with your new facelift that you've got every time I come and sung about, that ought to help you out a little bit. Come on. Amazing Grace.
I'm sure everybody remembers the page. Well, you probably remember the words, but 249.
If you need to come to the altar, please do so before we leave.
249.
Thank you very much.